Thanks, Glenn. Well, good morning, folks. First of all, a wee surprise. You'll never guess who got this for me. She didn't pay for it, but she encouraged Maggie to spend our hard-earned money. And it's not bad, actually, is it? Really? Yeah. So if you hear a noise, it's maybe not me. It's maybe just this jumper shouting. But just so as not to distract you too much, I'll zip it back up there. It does feel different, actually, being on the stage rather than sitting down in one of those seats there. So if anybody fancies a wee swap, just let me know and we can do that right away there. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles, there isn't any need because it is just the one verse we're looking at this morning. But if you wanted to turn to it, it's Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So this is the kind of direction we're going to be taking this morning, looking at the context of the prophecy, and maybe a wee closer look at Isaiah, and then looking at the names in the verse, and then the application. So that's the direction we're going. So if I go off track, I know it's hard to believe that I could possibly do that, but if I do, give me a shout, put your hand up, we'll get back on track, no problem at all. So context, firstly, context. For a start, did anyone know that actually Isaiah is the book in the Bible that's actually quoted most often in the New Testament? I didn't know that, did you? Neither did I until a few weeks ago. Jeff knew, but then there's a few things that Jeff knows, but he's been around for a bit longer than it. But let's look at Isaiah the man. Isaiah, the name Isaiah means salvation of the Lord, or the Lord is salvation. He's the son of Amos, and he was married and had two sons, and even the names of the sons have got significance to the message that he was preaching way back then. Shear Jashub, which means the remnant shall return, that's in Isaiah 7 verse 3, and what's this like for a mouthful? Mahar Shalal Hash Baz. How would you like to be called that? Yeah? I tell you. Anyway, I just think some people were in drugs even way back then. But what that actually means, literally, is in speed, spoil, booty, hastens. And so all these names actually symbolized Isaiah's message. Salvation of the Lord, remnant shall return, in speed, spoil, booty, hastens. Traditionally, it said that Amos was actually the brother, that's Amos as in Isaiah's dad, he was the brother of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. So actually that makes Isaiah a close relative of the kings way back then in his day. The times of Isaiah, his ministry lasted approximately 739 to 690 BC, a time of great political turmoil and uncertainty for Judah. And Assyria was expanding its empire, attacking Israel and Syria. And when Judah refused to cooperate, as in side up with Israel and Syria, then what happens? Huh? The numpties in Israel and Syria decide to attack Judah because they're not going on their side to fight Assyria. And just a mess up, really. So Samaria, the capital of Israel, fell in 722 BC, and then Judah ended up next on Assyria's hit list. So either way around, Assyria was going to go for Judah as well. But you'll appreciate that Isaiah was trying to basically, look, don't side with any of these rubbish nations, because you're just going to ask for a lot of trouble. And later on, after... Anyway, later on, when Hezekiah came to be king, he was advised by Isaiah not to make any alliances, but trust in the Lord. He heeded the advice, but in a moment of weakness, there's a something Tudor kings don't... in a moment of weakness, what does he do but show his treasures to ambassadors from Babylon? So what does that result in? Well, for a start, in Scotland we've got an expression for what Hezekiah did. A big dumpling. I don't know what he had for breakfast in those days, but it certainly wasn't brain food. So this prompted Isaiah to foretell the king's treasures in chapter 34, verses 5 to 7, that all his treasures would be taken away and his descendants would be taken off to Babylon. So when in captivity, God had several prophets for Israel and Judah, Israel being the nine tribes north and Judah being three tribes in the south. Hosea, in 750 to 725, was prophet to Israel, and Micah, along with Isaiah, were prophets to Judah. So it's only after reading about the cruelty of those Assyrian kings and what they got up to, and I'd rather not discuss what they did and how they tortured and killed a whole bunch of their enemies, but even then it explains, like, way back 100 years before, when Jonah wasn't too keen on going to Nineveh. Nineveh was actually in Assyria, and it wasn't the capital of Assyria then, but it did later become a capital. At that point, it was still a significant city. These people were responsible for killing a lot of Jews. They were responsible for killing a lot of people that, way back in Jonah's day even, that Jonah knew. That's one of the main reasons Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. I didn't even realize that until looking a wee bit of the history. So, anyway, if we can have the next slide, Rob, we're going to look a wee bit closer at the names. What's in a name? We've already learned that Isaiah's name meant salvation of the Lord. My name, Stephen David. Stephen means crown or garland. David means beloved. Margaret or Maggie means pearl, and that's not P-E-R-I-L, that's P-E-A-R-L, just with the accent there. Matthew means gift of God. Abby or Abigail means father's joy. And one of Abby's middle names is Louise, and that means female warrior. So there's just family history. So what do you think of when you hear the word Jaguar, for example? Do you think of the car? Do you think of the big cat? Or do you think of an American footballer? And believe me, there is an American football team called the Jacksonville Jaguars. No. Wonderful Counselor. Let's look at the first name here. Wonderful Counselor. Some scholars reckon it was a double-barreled name, Wonderful Counselor, and others think it was Wonderful, comma, Counselor. Either way, it speaks of Jesus being both wonderful and a counselor. Now, you can have counsel from anyone. Would you take counsel from any of these people? Next one. Yep. Now, just hang on there, Rob. Does anyone remember this chap, Gerald Ratner, by the way? Yeah. What a numpty. Like, this guy basically crucified his business in one fell swoop, describing the jewellery that his chain of jewellery shops sold as costing the same as a Marks and Spencer sandwich. But the only thing is, the sandwiches lasted longer than the jewellery. What happens? Folk return the stuff wanting refunds, and they kept coming back and coming back. Just went bust. You wouldn't take advice for that chappy, would you, Stuart? No. Well, neither would I. Next one, Rob. Yep. She's maybe needing some advice on that Brexit negotiations just now, actually. And last one, yep. This chap actually would be good for going for council if you're wanting to know how to run a football team. Now, I have to admit that my fashion sense is actually hopeless, but I actually look for advice from my 11-year-old daughter and my wife. I know it's hard to believe, you know, think, you know, as dashing as I am, you know, aye, right? No, but would Abby or Maggie seek me out to ask for fashion advice? Hands up, anyone that thinks yes. I'm shocked. Disappointed as well, actually, yes. Remember, it wasn't me that chose the jumper. No, but why wouldn't they? Because it wouldn't be wise, would it? And it certainly wouldn't be wonderful. And they might get a few comments from family and friends. My mother-in-law might not talk to me again. If I, you know, and I have made a few mistakes in the past, haven't I, Maggie? As hard as that is to believe. But and last month we looked at Daniel, and he was sought out by Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Because he knew that he'd get wise counsel. At times we need Jesus, wonderful counselor. How do we get that? By spending time in the Bible with God's people, getting to know him better. As a fellowship, how can we offer it? By being available to God for him to counsel through us. You don't have to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. Actually, in fact, sometimes I don't know if I've got any answers, to tell you the truth. Some of us speak too much, and I'll put my hands up and say, I'm one of those people that speak too much. And there's others that don't speak when they should. And it's at times like that that we need wise counsel. Yes. Do we need wise counsel? Do I need wise counsel? Yes. Absolutely. 100%. I need Jesus. Do we need wise counsel? Yes. We need Jesus, wonderful counselor, in our lives. But also, we need to actually be ready to be part of others receiving Jesus, that wonderful counselor. Yeah? And that's that being open to God and God's leading. Next name, Mighty God. And just bear in mind the times that we're looking at when this prophecy was given. God's people needed some good news. They actually needed some good news. They were like living on the edge as regards who are we going to be invaded by next? Is it going to be the Babylonians? Is it going to be the Assyrians? You know, everybody was into empire building those days. It must have been quite tough. So just bear in mind that the culture of the day, when naming names, it was after a child was born. It was never centuries before. Never, ever was it centuries before. Let's name this child. Yeah? So in those days, as I say, you'd wait for the kid to maybe, I don't know, either be months old or even, I don't know, but certainly a few months old, and aunts, uncles, parents, even brothers, sisters would suss out the character, personality of that child and, right, let's call him or her that, a name in keeping with the child's character. Here are names in keeping with Jesus, but prophesied way back, you know, like hundreds of years beforehand. And I just never think of a baby in terms of Mighty God, but this is what Isaiah prophesies. Here is a name that reminds us that Jesus is God. And at a time when God's people have had loads of bad news, and yes, they have, here is a gift. It's a son, it's a child given to us. Mighty God is coming. And there's that sense, not just Jesus, the child, being born, but it's that sense as well, Mighty God, Mighty God delivers. You know, this people in this day needed somebody to deliver them. Yeah? God delivers his people when they turn to him. We can see examples of Jesus' might throughout the Gospels, New Testament, when he healed, cast out demons, calmed storms, fed 5,000, And I love that Gospel of John snapshot where he actually says, look, I could just write about loads of other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, he says in John chapter 21, verse 25, I suppose that even the whole world wouldn't have room for the books that would be written. So again, remembering the times that Isaiah was in, did Judah need deliverance? Aye, they needed deliverance. And it wasn't just from enemy states. If I told you that some of the atrocities the Assyrians committed in those days were so bad, it would actually almost kind of like make Hitler look like a goodie. It really was that bad. And so in that sense, it wasn't just those enemy states that people in Judah and Israel were afraid of. It was actually, they needed deliverance not just from the enemy states, but the fear of those enemy states. Do you get what I'm saying? You know? For example, Newcastle United. If Newcastle United go out onto a football park and they're terrified of the opposition, what's going to happen? They're going to lose. Yeah? And this is way, way worse and way more real than a football match will ever be. Yeah? Did they need Jesus? Too right, they needed Jesus. Did they need deliverance? Too right, they needed deliverance. Reassurance? Absolutely. They needed Jesus, mighty God. Do we sometimes have times in our lives that when we need deliverance? Might not be from the thing. Is it from the fear of that thing? Yeah? Or that person or that, yeah? We need deliverance, don't we? We need Jesus, mighty God. Everlasting Father. This is in the early days, when I thought of Jesus, Everlasting Father, I thought, you know, that just doesn't make much sense, you know, because obviously Jesus is the Son of God. How can you be the Son of God and yet Everlasting Father? Until looking into it a bit more, it's not actually any need for any confusion, because it's not actually saying Jesus is God the Father and God the Son. It's more along the lines of, you know, when the Jews talked about Abraham being the father of the nation, you know, in terms of this human race, Jesus becoming a man, part of us, also, you know, it's not very often you get someone who became after they were. If you say, I'm not making much sense, but basically, Jesus is the only one who was actually around before he was born. Hands up, who was here before they were born? I wasn't, you know, but Jesus was. And not only that terminology, Everlasting Father, at this time, when this prophecy was given, there were a lot of fathers that weren't around because of the battles that Judah and Israel were involved in. A large number of them would have been killed. Sons would have been killed. Yeah? And here, the people are given a prophecy. They're going to have Everlasting Father. God to us. Everlasting Father. Some fathers you want to go on forever, but not all of them. Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's worth having around forever. Yeah? And not only that, the longest serving kings of Israel, Judah, like David, Solomon, they never lasted forever. Yeah? Let's face it, Jesus Christ is basically, in that sense, Father plus. He's the only founding member of any faith that is around today that is still alive, rose again. You've got, you know, Muhammad setting up Islam. He's not around. Yeah, Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science Movement, nope. She's not around either. Joseph Smith, that started off Mormons, yeah, nope, not around. Charles Taze Russell, the Jehovah's Witnesses, not around. Jesus, he's here. Yeah? Everlasting Father. And to think that this is actually, this prophecy is probably way bigger, I reckon, than even Isaiah realized until after he prophesied it. And again, it's a gift. It's a gift. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to pay. It's a gift. There's that sense of expectation, anticipation, yeah? Looking forward. Stephen and Claire, looking forward before Zach was born to having Zach. So there's that anticipation, but on a much grander scale. They tried to be as ready as they could be. How ready were you, Steve, by the way? That's pretty ready. Not ready at all. See? Are we ready for Jesus? Are we ready for Jesus, Everlasting Father? But I'm not talking about the arrival of a baby here, but when he comes back to take us home, are we ready? With Judah, they've been told about Jesus the Messiah coming as a baby, yet still God. How can a baby boy be a father? Because he's Jesus. With God, nothing's impossible. And again, thinking back to when this was prophesied, folk had lost sons, fathers, grandfathers. So to be told that an everlasting father was coming, I reckon that would have been quite a comfort. So yep, again, people need Jesus, everlasting father. Do we need comfort? Do we need Jesus, everlasting father? I'd suggest yes. And again, it might be that you yourself in a position to actually pray for those who do need Jesus, everlasting father, to get exactly that. Prince of Peace, moving on. Not just the absence of war, but this, I'd suggest, would be like, what is the opposite of peace? And I'd suggest it's further and deeper than just war, but potentially like stress, worry. That can be a disruption to peace. And I'd suggest that the irony of this season that we're just in, there'll be some stores out there that are so busy, so full of people, that the last thing there is in those stores will be peace. And it's the thing that we need most. Yeah? Christmas, it's not just some ancient, lifeless tradition. Although some traditions are good. No, this is about the Son of God. But not the Son of God in terms of way back when Isaiah prophesied and there's going to be an army invading your land. No, this is Jesus, the Son of God, not invading, but rather waiting to be invited into our lives. And we can do that not just as a one-off, but again and again and again and again. Yes, please. I need Jesus. It's that simple. I need Jesus. You don't invite a friend round to your home once and then, thanks very much for coming. It's been really good to have you. I'll see you in a decade. Yeah? If they mean something to you, you'll have them back again. I will. Although I might have to give Maggie a heads up that they're actually coming, I suppose, you know, just to stop those surprises. But, sometimes, think one of the hardest things to do is trust God in a situation of stress and worry. Thinking to Psalm 119, your word's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Fantastic verse. And basically, that reminder, God's word isn't about being a set of floodlights that you get in a football stadium and you can see for a couple hundred meters. You know? In fact, you can see Carlisle Stadium floodlights up where we live, and we're about a mile and a half away. No. In terms of, for us, God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light for our path. It's not a set of floodlights where we can see further on 10 years' time how our life's going to pan out, but it's enough for today. Jesus is more than enough for today. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's what Jesus said. So Christmas is actually for the mess of life. It's for the tough stuff. Because Jesus is for us. Am I going to have problems? Yes, I'm going to have problems. Is Jesus going to be with me? Yes, if I've given my life to him. And sadly to say, There's actually certain lessons that you can only learn through experience, and usually having a tough experience at that. You know, I know it's sad, but it's true. For Maggie and myself, and don't worry, Maggie, I'm not going to say anything I shouldn't say. I hope. No, for Maggie and myself, in fact, our whole family, it's probably been the hardest 7 months of our lives. But this morning isn't about my family. It's about us knowing that Prince of Peace in our lives will never leave us, never forsake us. Maggie forgives me when I say too much. Maybe not straight away, but I can't say enough that would do justice to the power of God through the prayers of his people. I love having a family that loves me. This love of Jesus is far deeper and far greater, and there's an assurance that comes from the peace of God in your life. So I might not know what's ahead, and it's probably a good job, but it is okay, because I am going to trust in God. In our Thrive group, we've been looking at a DVD course, and it basically helped me through tough stuff, isn't it, really, Debbie? Yeah? And this chap asks a famous Christian leader for prayer, and the response is, what do you want prayer for? And when he says, I want prayer for clarity, the response is, no, I rarely have clarity. What you need is to be able to trust in God. And that's when things are not clear. And that's what I'm going to pray for, that you can trust in God. And for us, it might not be a war in our lives, but is our life unsettled, confused? Are we at a loss of what to do, what to say? Then we need Jesus. We need that Jesus, Prince of Peace. You know, in the Bible, let peace of Christ dwell in you richly. And I've never heard anyone to this day tell me I could do with a bit less peace in my life. Yeah? Certainly not me. Not me anyway. Now, on to application, Rob. Now, this is in the context of the fact that we've been a blessing. We've been blessed by God. Blessed by God to be a blessing. I once heard an evangelist say, when he was told about all the bad things that was happening in this Welsh town, South Wales, where I lived for a couple of years, and he's just getting all this bad news, and he just come out with, you know, rather than talk about the darkness, I'd rather shine a light. And I thought, that's actually a good response. You know, it's a good response. And then at the dinner table, I remember, you just know that way when somebody asks you a question, it's a loaded question. What do you think of such and such a person? And they're almost hoping that you character assassinate them. And I just heard this chap saying, well, actually, he's been a blessing to me. Yeah? So rather than think of the 101 things that that chap did that were negative or wrong, he focused on what he did that was good, what he did that was, yeah, a blessing, yeah? And it is easy to talk about what a person said or did that was wrong, yeah? How about let's be thankful for the blessing that they are or have been to us, yeah? For me, my mother-in-law has been a blessing to me, as has my father-in-law, as has Maggie's sister, Angie. Maggie has been a blessing to me. Abby and Matthew are a blessing to me. Jordan was a blessing to me, to us as a family. Every member here in this place is a blessing to me, to us. Do we need hope? Do we need wisdom? That's where Jesus, wonderful counselor, comes in. Are we struggling under a heavy burden? The weight of everything getting us down? We need deliverance. That's where Jesus, mighty God, comes in. Do we miss a loved one? Need an arm around us? We need Jesus, everlasting Father. Does life just feel like chaos? Things unclear? We need Jesus, Prince of Peace. Yeah? So, in terms of, we've been blessed to be a blessing. Yeah? I think one of the main reasons the Jews, way back then, had so many trials. Kings heeded wrong counsel. Think about what you can do to learn from this. How can we let Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, have more of a say in our lives, Thrive Groups, in this fellowship, this city? Carlisle needs Jesus. It does. It needs Jesus. Yeah? Pray for opportunities for God to bless others through you this coming week, few weeks. Act. Do what God lays in your heart. Are you blessing others? Maybe making a hamper, or two, or three. Maybe helping. Maybe visiting. Maybe even just saying thank you. How many people wish folk could thank them less? Yeah? That's it, folks.